Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the show. Dan, Michael, and Rob with you on the weekly show, brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discounts on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. You can subscribe to TSB Plus if you fancy our members package, where you get loads of extra stuff. Really, really helps to support us. You get a daily email with all the essential Leeds United news, discounts and early access to our merchandise, and a bonus show as well, The Extra Ball. You get Propaganda Extra over there, more of the best bits of Propaganda. And on The Extra Ball this week, chatting to Tony DiRigo. We're midway through a two-parter with him. A little clip from that for you here. Enjoy.
So now we've got out to the ring road, just past the roundabout, and the police car is flying along to catch us all. So he's past me. He's now caught Speedo, who finally saw there's the policeman behind him. And he just pulls over on a dual carriageway and just cuts us off. So basically, Speedo's stopped. I'm the next one. Yeah, he's gone sideways. I'm the next one. And there's three or four cars behind me. And I'm just sitting there. And the policeman got out the car at like now 2 a.m. And Bats is in the car with Speedo. And Bats is just laughing. Speedo has jumped out and said, "I'm really sorry. I am really sorry."
It's a really good chat. Tony, a lovely guy, isn't he, as well?
Very, too nice. Too nice for this world, is Tony.
That's on The Extra Ball. Details of TSB Plus at thesquareball.net/plus. Into the first part of the show. And it's about Leeds United news, and it's about relegation. It's about relegation watch. Never putting it to bed. Well, not for another couple of weeks anyway, when it will either come to pass or not. Michael, are we going down?
Yes.
Rob, are we going down?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was saying I'm just refusing to acknowledge it, whereas now I'm just completely accepted it, I think.
Nah, we're staying up.
So. I mean, we might. Yeah, we might. It's us and Burnley, isn't it? Because Everton play Watford, don't they? That's coming up for them, and everyone can beat Watford.
Stranger things have happened, though.
No, not for Watford.
No. I mean, I don't think Roy Hodgson's really trying now, is he?
No, none of them are. The players know Hodgson's not going to be there next year. The players know half of them aren't going to be there next year. They're all right in the Championship. They're like,
I am just clutching at straws, but sometimes funny things can happen in football, so you never know.
You've been saying this against Man City and Arsenal.
No, but they do. But they do.
Nothing funny happened against Arsenal, unless you consider Ilan Meslier's mistake.
I'm thinking about Watford beating Everton potentially. You know, huge amounts of pressure on Everton. It can do funny things to people. Although it does feel like, I mean, they've had a bit of an upswing in momentum, haven't they? It's with them at the minute.
Mm. Well, and it's helped that us and Burnley have not picked up points as well. So it's, it makes it easy for them, doesn't it?
We only need to be better than one of those two teams.
Mm. The goal difference is a bit of a problem, because I can quite conceivably see neither us or Burnley getting another point this year. So to go down on goal difference after such a meek end would be a bit of a shame. But I think there'll be points somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, credit to Southampton for trying to get themselves dragged into this as well, because they're not a million miles away off it. It's probably too late to pull them in, but they've only got two games left and they're quite difficult, I think, aren't they, the pair of the games?
It's a real tremendous run they've been on. I mean, one win out of 11. And it's a really strong end to the season. That's the Red Bull philosophy.
This is what they do every year, though, isn't it? They get to that mark and then think, nah. Don't need to try now, it's fine.
It is. There are some rumblings about them being a little bit unhappy there, like, because they're going to lose, is it Brojo who's going back to Chelsea, and Livramento's been out for most of the season. And I saw, I think it was an article somebody put out this week, sort of to that effect. I think it might have been on The Athletic, saying they've never really gone forward anywhere after they've got James Ward-Prowse, who's good at free kicks.
It's a weird one with old Ralph Rabbit-Hutch, because it always seems to be every season that you get to sort of December and they've started off all right, and it's like, oh, this guy could be managing a big club soon.
Is this when
and
they kick on?
Yeah, and then by the end of the season, it's like, get him out. He's an absolute chancer.
Yeah. I mean, if we were to win our game in hand on them, it would put us only 3 points behind them, which is mad when you think about it, how how terrified we are and how terrible we've been at times.
Yeah, I mean, they are out of it, though, I'm fairly sure. But yeah.
I'll tell you what, it would have put a different slant on things if we'd have beaten them.
Why didn't we just do that?
We should have done, shouldn't we?
We should have done that, then we'd be feeling a lot better about everything. But as it is, we're in bother. And your favourite website, Dan? The 538 projection thing that they do.
What are you looking at nonsense for?
Our chances of relegation, when you introduced this, we were 10%, went to 18%. This is likelihood for relegation.
Yeah.
10%, no chance, more or less. 18%, fine. 45%, okay. 50% now.
Yeah.
Weirdly, though, which makes me doubt their whole system, there's a projected league table there which has us on the same points as Burnley, but above them.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, is it?
That's because of the goal difference. That's wrong. Yeah. So why have you introduced this complete farce, these complete charlatans into this?
What I will say is, and I know I'm undermining all the points that I was leaning on in recent, but it does kind of show how silly the whole algorithm is, that a one game or a couple of one games, I mean, there's only a points difference between us and Everton, and we're on the same points as Burnley, and yet Everton have got a 10% chance of going down, and us 50%.
Although, I guess with the goal difference, you'd say it's sort of 2 points.
No, but I was saying, but why is it swung so much? How come we were reduced so far and actually all it's taken is, you know, a couple of wins for another side to be 1 point in front of us and the other one on the same points as us?
Has the algorithm watched us? Is this the problem?
maybe AI is getting really, really good. But yeah. I mean, by the way, Watford have formally gone down now. I think I might have said last week that they were down, but they weren't actually fully mathematically down, weren't they?
Not fully, but I mean, they've been for weeks.
But they've been Hodgson down for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, since we beat them, essentially, they've been down. That was their very last chance of getting out of it.
It was nice to see Roy Hodgson celebrate relegation with a lap of honour at Selhurst Park.
He applauded all the Palace fans, didn't he? Had a nice time there and then went straight down the tunnel. Didn't see the Watford fans. So
they were too far away, weren't they?
They were too far away for an old man's weary, creaking bones to make it all the way over to that side of the pitch. That's so funny, I know. And he was having a jolly nice time. He saw Wilf Zaha and some of his other former players at Palace. So maybe he thought he was still there. Who knows?
Burnley lost, though, and that was good.
Yeah.
Particularly good because it was a home game against Villa, who've not been in good form, and they have to play Villa again. So it gives you hope that they won't beat them.
Yeah, and they've got Spurs as well, which, you know, all things, I know they've beaten Spurs already this season, but that was a different Spurs that they beat. Mm-hmm. And all things being equal, Spurs have got to win that, surely, given everything. So it then potentially goes to the last day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Not good. Not good at all. Obviously, I don't want this to be down ahead of it, but I do want this all to be over as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
is the feeling I have from it. So, I mean, we'll see what happens against Chelsea.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we spoke to Tony DiRigo over on the Extra Ball this week, and we got chatting about some of the themes that kind of run through dressing rooms. Like, Leeds were right up against it in 1991, 1992, you know, in the wake of, it was the 4-0 defeat at Man City. And they all got back into the dressing room and they looked at it and they said, well, we've got this many games to go. It's not over yet. But what they concentrated on was the controllables, stuff that in front of them that they could control, which was their own performance. And he said, and what it boils down to is it's just winning football matches. It's the same game that you play when you're 5, when you're 10. It's the same pitch. It's 11 against 11 on a patch of grass. Simplify it back down to that. And you just need to go out and win a football match. And I think sometimes we do pile so much emotion and meaning onto this sort of stuff that it becomes so complex and so meaningful in our minds that we forget that it is just a football match we need to win, and a win will probably do us the world of good.
Probably not going to, are we?
Yeah, I think Jesse will be quoting Lenny Kravitz soon with the "In over till it's over." Which, I mean, I don't...
It's not over.
I don't think this week is going to change much, and I don't think we're going to see any changes of significance until Saturday, because I don't think we will...
We're not playing until Sunday.
Sunday even. Whenever that is, the weekend is what I mean.
Yeah,
I don't think we will beat Chelsea. I think Everton will beat Watford, so then they'll be out of it. But I kind of think they are anyway, because I've always had them beating Watford down as a definite anyway. So we're into the weekend for the important stuff.
Mm.
But I'm not feeling great.
Watford did beat Everton earlier in the season, but I suppose they were trying at that point, and they had a different manager, so. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to talk myself into this, but I'm not really convincing myself. And likewise, Burnley have got injuries now. Mm. Vidra's out for the season and Tarkowski might be. So unlike our completely fully fit squad, that might give us a bit of an advantage.
Didn't Vidra like do his ACL and carried on playing or something like that?
I'm not sure, actually. Is that right?
He did a fairly serious ligament, and I think he must have felt like a twinge in it or something.
That'll be the Deitch influence still at play. Just get out there and run it off.
Sponge on it and off you go.
But yeah, it is good that the teams are having some injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all for that.
But that leaves them with Ashley Barnes up front and the guy who's taller than your nan, and neither of which are scoring particularly many goals. So maybe a glimmer of hope there as well.
Yeah, I think somebody flagged up that they've scored, what is it, 2 in 60 appearances between them or something daft like that, their front line. So not a lot of goals, potentially porous in defence. There may just yet be enough. Their incompetence might yet save us. Because it's going down to the final pretty much, isn't it?
I mean, unless we can pull something out against Chelsea, which I don't see it.
I mean, would you take frustrating them and getting a 0-0?
The question really is, how many points would we accept now if offered? Or would you take... I think we'd all take 6 for definite.
Mm-hmm.
Would you both take 4?
I think so.
Burnley only get 3.
Would you take 3?
I guess it goes back to the question of what you think Burnley are going to do.
That's what I mean, though. Yeah. Right now, it's hard to know, isn't it, what exactly we need? Because I think 4 would probably be all right.
Well, 4 is going to then take you up to 38 points, which has been more than enough for most seasons.
And 3 might be all right. I might accept 3 now if it was offered.
I mean, 1 might be enough.
It might, which would be a horrible way to end the season.
It would be hilarious if we stayed up with one more point.
I'm telling you now, mark me on this, if we stay up, it'll be done like that. It'll be 1 point and it'll be the final day, because that's Leeds.
The final day when we need a point. We only need a point.
And people, I think, on the comments of the match ball, when I tried to point this out and said we might actually still squeak this, have moaned at me for being too positive. Get real. But if you're too negative, you get told you're being too negative. I actually, and as I said this on Propaganda, I think it's flip of a coin territory now.
And also, being too positive is potentially suggesting we're getting 1 point out of 9. Yeah. I mean, that's not hugely positive.
My positivity just remains in the fact that, you know, there's still a lot of road to run in this, and Burnley are not great. We're not great. One of us is going to go down, and I don't think it's going to be necessarily because one of us suddenly discovers Champions League form. So why not us? It's a 50-50 shot, isn't it?
Would you take just tossing a coin now and not having to do the 3 games?
No, because I'm all right now. Whatever happens, I've relaxed about this. Were we talking about this on Propaganda, or were we saying it off air? I can't quite remember, but I'm fine about it now. Whatever happens. I think I reached my stress capacity weeks ago, and I've just chosen, and it goes back to what I was saying there about Dorigo, about managing what you can manage. So I can choose to get stressed about this or not, and it's not going to affect the outcome.
It is true. I think people need to understand that as well. Being negative on here has no influence about anything. No.
Me saying those words, it don't matter.
Don't make any difference. Just like wearing a certain pair of socks makes no difference.
Yeah,
you know,
none of it means anything.
If you didn't sit in, you know, if you sat like in a different seat than you normally would, that didn't have any influence. If you didn't have a drink at the same pub you always go to, that didn't have any influence either. We have very little influence on things. In the ground, there's something to be done for the chanting and whatnot. But as I said the other week, I've seen Leeds well and truly cheered through a couple of relegations. So it doesn't make as much difference as people would think. I think what it does do is mean it can make the experience not completely awful, can that sort of thing.
How close do you think it is to turning the atmosphere? Because I think you get the sense that the club would very much like a positive atmosphere for the last couple of games at home, which they're going to get against Chelsea. It's going to start well, always does. Because I think the fans know, as we demonstrated at the end of the Man City game, that our bit, the bit that we can control, is being loud for them and supportive for them. And then hopefully they can deliver on the pitch. But as we saw against Villa, there will come a breaking point at some point when the frustrations spill over. And there is a day of reckoning coming, one way or another.
Mm.
Hopefully it's after Brentford and we can say, bloody hell, that was close. Let's never do that again. As you were saying on Propaganda, Michael. Or, you know, it's get into them. Fuck them up.
I think they've got Chelsea, haven't they? Where I think it will... kind of a similar vibe to City, maybe. I think come Brighton, it depends on other results, doesn't it? But I think it could get quite angry there, potentially. Mm. I also think Marsh's substitutions could have a part to play in that, because, you know, we've all been wanting to see Joffy. We've seen him get dragged off at the weekend without him really touching the ball. He's done it in the past, hasn't he, where he's like brought Robin Koch on for attackers and stuff, which I just don't think he can't afford to do it now, can he? He is under scrutiny, as we have seen, to the reaction to his press conference today. People have run out of patience with him, not to the extent of calling for him to go, but I don't think people really want to put up with more of his bullshit, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, and as I was saying over on Propaganda, I think that's because there's no result being seen yet. We don't know what the net effect of him doing the motivational quotes, talking about them. I mean, that stuff, if we stay up, none of that stuff matters, and we'll go, all right then, that was the ends that justifies the means. As long as you get there, fine. But at the minute, there's been a lot of talking, and unfortunately, from the club's perspective, there's been a lot of talking all year about this stuff. You know, and you even go back to January, when not moving in the January window, the justification for it was based around Bielsa's ability, and then they fired him a month later.
And I think, to be fair, that as much as there is growing frustration with Marsh, it's still nowhere near as much as there is frustration with the board. I think they're more likely to be a target of songs and things like that.
I wonder if they feel like they've done anything wrong, because the fans certainly
do. I'm sure they won't do it this way again. Put it that way. There's no way they would do a look back on this season and go, yep, wouldn't change anything with that. That went absolutely perfectly.
Because they, I'm sure, would argue that given the ninth place finish, you have to then go all in with Bielsa again. They weren't to know at that stage that his method might start to fall apart. So when it does start to fall apart, you've got to act. They've acted. They've put in who they think is the best man for the job. Would they feel like they've done anything wrong?
Yeah, they must do.
Well, the timing maybe, or do they look at maybe with the Bielsa situation? These are conversations for 2 weeks down the road, aren't they really? But would they look at the Bielsa situation and say, we let that get out of hand? Because I think that's probably been the big failing. If you're going to include Bielsa as part of the blame for what's gone wrong this season.
And he does have to take a share of it.
Absolutely,
Because we were not playing well.
But he has, because he's lost his job.
Yes.
So he has taken, he's undoubtedly taken his share of the blame. But it's that phrase of the tail wagging the dog, isn't it? If everything was done that Bielsa wanted and they lost faith in it, maybe you try and mitigate against potential failures. You look for the weak points in the system, don't you? Like tiny squad, injuries, so on and so forth.
The thing is, no one's going to blame Bielsa at the end of the season if we go down.
I think they will.
I think his name would be sung in, will probably end up being sung in the stadium, and he will...
Well, he'd be perceived as the least worst option under those circumstances.
Yeah, I think he would be fairly unscathed in all of this, because there was still time for him to turn it around, even though I don't think he would have done. Personally speaking, I think the point he'll turn would be Brighton. I think it depends on what happens elsewhere as well, because Burnley don't play midweek, do they? So they can't gain on us in the midweek. But they could...
Play the Thursday between Brighton and Brentford.
I'm trying to think, when do the games kick off on the weekend? Are they ahead of us, or is it the same time?
What, the timings of them? I have got them on a separate set of notes, bear with me.
I'm just trying to remember how it... I think they
kick off at noon, don't they,
actually? I'm trying to think how this could pan out in the stadium.
They kick off at noon at Spurs, and then we kick off at 2 o'clock.
So if they have won that game, or got something from that game, and then we're losing against Brighton... I mean, if they've won that game and we lose against Brighton, we are down. To look at it that way. Well, assuming we get nothing from Chelsea.
Yes, it's noon. Yeah, and then the Everton-Brentford game is after us, so we're sandwiched right in the middle there.
Jesus.
And then they've got their games in hand. Both Everton and Burnley play on Thursday the 19th ahead of the final day. So it's likely to roll through to at least that Thursday, if not the
Would
final day.
Would it help if Massimo turned up at Brentford in the away end with a hot dog? Just to lighten the mood a little bit. Get us back to
people,
that.
People liked that, didn't they?
People thought he was a great character. So maybe Radrizzani should do the same. Hot dogs for everyone, guys.
Well, while we're on the bleak relegation talk,
in addition to the t-shirts,
the 23s, we'll talk about the t-shirts in a sec, actually. The 23s have gone down as well, which is obviously a blow. And that's actually part of the same problem, isn't it? The fact that we pulled so many 23s into the first team, they were travelling with the first team when the 23s were playing, that it's depleted that squad to the extent where they've been playing a lot of 18s and they've paid for it with divisional status. So part of the so-called succession plan through to the first team has been massively damaged by trying to get them through into the first team because we needed them.
Is it wrong to say it was quite funny at full-time at Arsenal to then look at my phone and go, oh, right, I'm relegated. But the 23s, yeah, like you say, they've kind of been decimated by the injuries in the first team as much as anything, but there is work to be done there as well. Like, they've not had a proper left back all season. It's been Leo Hielder playing there, or Liam McCarron, who is a winger. And likewise at right back, even when Drama was there at the start of the season, Chris Moore, who's a centre half, has been playing there. It's kind of similar to the first team, where they've built a squad of wingers and little attacking midfielders, but there are some kind of glaring holes in that squad. Whether relegation actually matters a great deal at that level, I'm not too sure. It's such a strange league and setup and style of football. But given the club have put so much stock on it and told us how brilliant it is, and you've got Marsh on Sunday telling us we're going to have the best academy in 3 years, it's not a great look.
That's actually the timing of that. It's not necessarily that Marsh is doing all the press coverage. Maybe what he's saying, it's like, read the room a little bit. And just like 2 minutes ago, as we record this, the club have just announced memberships for next season.
Excellent.
22-23.
How much are they?
I don't know. I haven't actually followed the link yet. I will do that because one of the criticisms of it this year was that there was no value in it at all for people other than the right to get into a queue to buy tickets.
Mm. Won't be a problem next season.
What do you think of the Dallas t-shirts then? Because we had a bit of fun laughing at it at the weekend. The gravestone shaped t-shirts.
It was very gravestone-y. I suppose, what did Dallas think of it would be my question. Mm. If Dallas saw it and went, what have you done that for? Then I'd like, maybe, was he consulted? I don't know. He doesn't seem very Stuart Dallas-y to make himself the centre of attention like that.
I think it was a nice thing to do from his perspective, definitely, and I'm sure he would have liked the show of support from everybody. Was it necessary, though?
I'm not totally sure.
It feels like just a desperate attempt at motivating the players as much as anything.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
I think that's it. It's like it's an attempt to bring togetherness, like try and unite around Stuart Dallas's broken femur. It's like we can keep ourselves up because
if you're being cynical about it, you'll say, was it not for the cameras as well? Same as that big display was against Man City. I mean, what is it for us or is it for the watching world?
Yeah, and this sort of, I don't know, this sort of thing with football, it can veer a bit towards like mawkish. This sort of thing as well, where it's a bit overblown.
A bit Liverpool-y. Because they wore the T-shirts for Van Dijk, didn't they?
And for Suarez as well, yeah. When he'd racially abused someone. That was a nice touch when they did that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's fine, isn't it, probably? It probably has no influence on anything, so no, whatever.
I think the only thing, and I want to qualify this by saying I want Leeds United to succeed and be the best version of itself, but to jump on this stuff straight away, and it was a nice gesture, you know, maybe you enjoyed holding up the word Yorkshire as well. But for them to not have the presence of mind to do anything for the families of Chris and Kev a month ago when that anniversary came around. And if you are to judge by the comments of George Speight on Twitter, the families weren't consulted about it. So that they can sort out 2,500 t-shirts in the away end at a drop of a hat, but they didn't do anything about that. Which do our fans think is more important in the grand scheme of things in terms of our identity and the things that are important to our identity? I don't know. It's just a question I wish somebody would answer.
I know what you mean, but it's for the way it looks is important for, I guess, the TV audience and the worldwide people looking at Leeds United going, that's nice. They've done a big word on the stand. How lovely. But yeah, Yorkshire's a bit of Yorkshire a bit of a weird one to go with as well on the stand. Mm. I know we do sing it, but it feels like, I don't know. Mm. There are obviously lots of Yorkshire clubs. Not as good as us, but still.
Well, Huddersfield are the Yorkshire club.
They are, yes, of course.
So there's that 10% increase in the availability of general admission tickets for next season, which increases the chances of members getting...
Have they done that? They built some more seats?
I don't know. This is including extensive dialogue with various supporters bodies, including Sports Trust and the Supporters Advisory Board. The club are introducing a new and exclusive tier of membership called My Leeds Priority, which rewards and recognises long-standing existing My Leeds club members who have been a consecutive paying official member or season ticket holder for the last 10 years.
Right. Okay.
That ties in with changing to SeatGeek as the ticketing provider. One of the things that they were talking about was introducing some scheme of loyalty.
Yeah, so it looks like the ring fencing some tickets for that band of supporters as well.
If people want tickets, if there's a lot of demand, it's always going to be a contentious thing, is this? Because there's always going to be someone who was like, you know, how do you balance someone who had a season ticket for 20 years, but not the last 5 years? Like, are they more loyal than someone who's had one for the last 3 years? Like, just the way people always want like individual circumstances to be taken into account. It's like, well, but I lived away during that period, so I should still have some loyalty for that. It's like, there's no obviously fair way of doing it.
The rest of the home match tickets are being sold via ballot thereafter. Okay. So rather than the bonfire trying to get in first, it's going to be done via ballot.
It's quite a strange loyalty of 10 years. Is that quite a big thing? Not, you know, based, because the ones that SeatGeek have done around other Premier League clubs are certain amount of games in previous seasons or whatever. Because for instance, I've got friends who have been season ticket holders for years or members for years, but for instance, under Chileno, we're just like, fuck this. Which, you know, is understandable. Mm. But I don't know.
10 years as well, if you're 18, it's kind of harsh.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I was
why weren't you a member at 8?
It's more than likely, I suspect, they've gone to the database and said, well, how many will that put into that category? Well, if it's 10,000, let's say, then that's a good cutoff point. Or it might have been 9 years or 8 years, depending on how many.
I mean, that's the thing. I am saying this is a guy who was at uni less than 10 years ago. So for 3 years, I didn't have a
Oh, me. It's on me. Is, me is
well, exactly,
you,
yeah. That's, I want the ticket, mate. Come on.
Absolutely sick of it. So the membership pricing structure, yeah, £75 for the priority tier, £45 for juniors. Same again for My Leeds Plus. And then the bog standard My Leeds is 50 and 30. So I will, we'll have to look into that and maybe reflect on it another week because it's just out. And there you go. Part one done. Not the happiest part one of the season. Soon be over.
Soon we can say that with a degree of certainty.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
We're previewing Chelsea. We're looking ahead to Brighton. What do you think is going to happen in these two season-defining games?
I don't know. I think we probably lose them both, if I'm perfectly honest.
Michael!
I'm sorry. They're both better teams than us.
Do you think the Reds have gone?
Our players? Yeah. It looked a bit that way. Both with Ayling's challenge and then...
But was that not down to being 2-0 down, though, within 10 minutes?
Possibly, but you know, look ahead a bit then. Try and put things right longer term rather than doing that. Just don't do that, Luke. Do it last game of the season. Fine if we're down, lose your head then. Alan Smith in Valencia. We're at a point when it makes no odds. Yeah. I can see the frustration then, but you know, we were never likely to get anything from Arsenal. So just don't be an idiot. Would be my advice there. But I don't know. I feel like we're putting a lot of hope in the Brighton game. But Brighton are quite good.
They're like top of the form table, aren't they, at the minute?
Yeah.
And we always seem to struggle against them as well. They just seem to have a style that completely stifles us.
But then that's when we were playing more expansive football. We're not now.
But I mean, I don't really have much faith in Dan James against their three giant centre-backs or things like that. I mean, I would argue we'd look worse if anything. So, I mean, yeah, I can't say I'm looking forward to it.
Because if there's one, yeah, you're right though. We did under Bielsa's football. We never seemed to quite have the measure from Dibbin. Their style, however you break it down, seemed to be effective against us. So maybe our style will confuse them.
That was my hope against Arsenal because they battered us so much at Elland Road. I thought, well, it'd be a different setup this time. They won't be able to get in down their wings as easily. And oh, there they were every single time they got the ball.
But you can never draw direct equivalence between one team and another, can you?
No.
You know, you've got to play the occasion as it, you know, comes on the day. And like, for example, Chelsea probably got Champions League sorted out, can be caught by Arsenal, can't they? So there's that chase is on, but they've got the balance of the FA Cup final.
And they still finish fourth, probably. I think they'd have to lose a few, I think three games, and Spurs would have to win all theirs or something. They're pretty much safe in the Champions League space. And I don't know, does third to fourth make any difference? Do you get to go in at a later qualifying round or something? Or is it?
Potentially, but they're not going to get in.
It's not much. There's not much jeopardy in it, truth be told. So just concentrate on the FA Cup. That's what I say to you, Chelsea.
They've got to have half an eye on it because footballers naturally are going to want to play at Wembley, aren't they?
It's really weird because I'm worried that Brighton are in good form, but I'm also worried that Chelsea are in too poor form, and I expect a reaction. I think, well, this can't surely last. Mm. Like as soon as we saw them lose to Everton, you thought, well, they're going to be brilliant against us, aren't they? Mm. But yeah, you hope that they change some players, I guess. But that's about all the hope I'm holding on to.
I mean, we gave them a good run for their money, albeit playing Bielsa's football earlier in the season.
Yeah, we should have got something from that game. We were very unlucky. We get to say hello to Rudiger again, don't we? Yeah. He was a pleasant character the first game.
I know that whenever things get bad like this and we're staring down the barrel at Leeds, everyone completely writes off our chances. And I know we've been fairly terrible in recent games, but we're not as bad as you might think. We've got it in us to be better than we are.
And also, anything can happen in a game. Chelsea could have someone sent off early. We could get a penalty. There are things that can turn a game that ordinarily you wouldn't win into a win. And we just, God, do we need something like that? I mean, we had it at Wolves, didn't we?
Yeah.
Truthfully, that was one of those things that we were not getting anything from that game in a million years. And then some madness happened. Look at like Derby in the playoffs, that one. They weren't getting back into that game at all. Kiko Kassir comes out, Cooper and him get in a mix-up, and it all crumbles for us for a little period. And why can't someone else crumble at some point, please?
Because they're not a happy... It's not a happy place, is it, Chelsea, at the minute? They're just not very jolly.
They're a weird one, though, Chelsea, aren't they? Because they get talked up as like title challenges or whatever every year, and then they finish third or fourth, but it does feel like they're in crisis or something if they finish that way.
Mm.
Albeit then last season they went and won the Champions League, which...
It's funny, isn't it?
Isn't fair.
Yeah. but there's talk of like the players who are leaving, and there are a few, I think, who are going to Madrid by the sounds of it. Yeah. Maybe and foot off the gas, being a bit mercenary about it. I'm trying to find things to cling on to here that might just, if that, I think I said in one of the shows, maybe through the week or last week, that if they can be just 5% off their peak and we can give it everything, you just never know, do you? You never know.
Yeah. And as much as I am thoroughly miserable here, I'm looking forward to it still.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking forward to the game and the experience of it, and hopefully it will be loud from the start, and it'll be a really memorable night, because you do live with that hope, don't you? Even in the worst of times, you think, what if it's brilliant though? Like just occasionally games happen unexpectedly, don't they? And you they end up being like some of your best memories of watching football. So you never know. And I think in the stadium, I think it will be positive on Wednesday. I don't think there will be any particular negativity. There might be if we go two down early on or something like that, but I feel like overall the crowd will stick with it.
Listening to Marsh this morning as well, he's talking about Liam Cooper should be back. He says he believes he'll be back, because he thought he'd be back against Arsenal, but I think that's huge if he's back, especially with Ayling now suspended. We desperately need him as captain in there.
Who would you stick at right back?
I mean, he was talking about that in his presser as well. He's saying Shackleton's an option. There's the option of playing Dan James or, God forbid, Rafinha as a wing-back. Mm. He also talked about moving a centre-half there, which I'd presume is Robin Koch, which I really wouldn't want to see, because we need to have some form of threat. If Shackleton would be there, yeah, fine, I guess. I think
that's getting a hell of a lot of him, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not played in... When did he last have a game? Months and months ago.
If it is a wing-back, I would much rather it be Dan James there than Rafinha, I think. I mean, I actually think Dan James did all right there at the weekend. And he's kind of got like a Alioski vibe to him of, well, at least he can run up and down, up and down, up and down, whereas Rafa just feels completely wasted there. I think we need him much further up the pitch.
We need some threat, don't we? We need some threat.
Yeah, we do.
We've had none.
And hopefully Gallagher gets another go up top as well, because he's really been quite cursed with luck this season. He was going to get a run, I think, earlier, and he was injured, wasn't he? So he didn't get to play in that, and then obviously got his start against Arsenal, but then the sending off meant he was taken off, which I still don't fully agree with, but that's the decision that was taken. It just feels like he never gets an opportunity.
Mm.
Not a proper one anyway.
Mm.
And he's been brought on to summon some magical powers to get us some points in the last 5 minutes of games, but it's not very fair to rely on anyone to do that, never mind a 19, 20-year-old to be like, go on then, just go do a goal for us. We need one here.
If Cooper comes back in, I suspect we'll go three at the back. Five at the back, seven at the back. Whatever that was that we tried to do against Man City.
Eight in the middle.
Yeah.
Don't think of front and back, just think of middle and side. It's all middle.
Yes. I've got a feeling that's what he'll go for, with that, a similar thing to what we did against Man City. Try and invite them on and catch them on the break, which nearly worked in the first few minutes.
Mm. I mean, Chelsea have got a bit of a different proposition up front, because they have some big strikers as options. They've got Lukaku, and even like Havertz is quite tall as well, so they do have out balls that maybe Man City don't. Like they can, if they want, just kind of chuck it in the box.
Be interesting.
Mixer it as Chelsea do. Stick in the mixer.
I mean, he was saying that Marsh was saying that he replaced Click at half time because he was on a booking and he didn't want him to get sent off and lose another player to suspension. But I think given the way Bate played as well, and the way Click hasn't really looked like he fits in with this kind of, with what's been asked of him anyway, I think there's a decision to be made there as well. I mean, it sounds mad to be like, yeah, let's throw Bate in like the most high pressure three games we've got of the season, but I would actually wouldn't mind seeing him.
No, point to prove as well against Chelsea, former club and all that.
Get himself sent off.
Settle some old scores from the training ground. Yeah, definitely.
It almost feels impossible to look at the Brighton game without seeing what happens with Chelsea, isn't it now? Because everything is, it's got down to that part of the season where everything is on every game.
Mm.
And Brighton will be framed around what happens against Chelsea. Because if we win against Chelsea, if we defy the odds and get a miracle and beat them, then suddenly Brighton looks a hell of a lot different depending on what Burnley do, doesn't it? I mean, with Burnley playing before us,
I feel like most
it could be a carnival.
I feel like most of this podcast has just been us going, well, this could happen.
But then
oh, maybe we'll get the, then they'll lose and then it'll be out. Actually, I'll be fine. Yeah, maybe Brighton's a staying up party.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
By the seaside.
Almost.
United away.
Actually, we can't technically stay up, can we? Because I think they could still get, they'd still have two games to play, wouldn't they? But anyway, I'm not too concerned about us winning both games and not being able to celebrate soon enough.
Yeah, this isn't fair. And Brighton is likely to be farewell to Rafa. The horrible feeling I've got about it is if it does go bad, and Lord only knows it's capable of going bad with Leeds, it will turn toxic ultimately, because it's the last chance of the fans to voice their disapproval.
Never mind, farewell to Rafa, farewell to Calvin.
This season. Yeah, and Calvin is off. I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
Don't worry though, lots more junior Firpo next season.
Is that it'll be horrible and it'll turn really destructive and we won't be able to say thanks to them.
I mean, there have been final games. I was at the Charlton relegation, well, we were already relegated, but the final game in the Premier League, and that was a bit more of a carnival atmosphere. But then you saw, because it had already happened, people were just being like, oh, well, fuck it. One last chance to kind of go to a game in the Premier League and have a bit of a party. Whereas Ipswich going down, that ended up with bottles being thrown at Ipswich fans and a pitch invasion and horrible atmosphere.
Maybe it goes toxic a bit earlier when people realise it's got away from us, and then towards the end we then get a chance to be nice. And then there's a sad lap of disgrace at the end. We're never going to see you again. But that's not going to happen because we're going to stay up.
Okay, let's just go with blind faith. The thing is, I'm aware this is coming from me, but pessimism really doesn't get you anything. It just means you're upset about things before they've happened.
Yeah.
Which is, so you get to be miserable for a bit longer, which is why I just try not to think about it sometimes.
What do you reckon then, points wise from these two? Or is it even worth thinking about?
Zero.
It? Zero, great.
Rob, zero. If I'm honest.
I mean, you were just saying there's no room for pessimism, so I'll say 3 points.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I was going to go for 3. Let's go for 4.
I have to just not think about it because I don't like, optimism is comforting. It's like, but I don't like to allow myself these things. It's like people find comfort in all sorts, don't they? In, you know, religion things. But I think, no, that's cheating. That's pretend comfort. You need to just suffer with this.
You want to be that monk who lived on top of a pole for like six months or whatever, don't you? In the lotus position.
So yeah, I'm just going to ignore it.
Okay. So the genuine verdict is please, isn't it? Never mind what points we actually think we're going to get. It's just please.
As Gandhi said, believe.
We're doing heroes and villains. And first, the Kent Bates Villain of the Week Award, somebody who's annoyed us this last week. Who could it be, Michael?
Everyone.
Is it Luke Ayling or is it everybody?
It's Luke Ayling is part of everybody. Yeah, Luke Ayling is certainly winning it on the weight of nominations. Firpo's Tash said there should be a landslide result for Ayling, and it pretty much is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of scattergun nominating going on here. Somebody spraying out into the battlefield with a machine gun and trying to hit everything and anyone. The club, Marsh, Ayling, Stupid, Leeds United. You know, it's not pretty, is it, out there?
I think KP deserves a mention, who's nominated the entire team. Well, the entire club, in fact. He's in England during the season for the first time in 8 years. And so far, I've seen Stuart Dallas die, Luke Ayling go mad, and Calvin likely play his last games for the club. Delighted they saved this for me. Also had to sit in the Arsenal end today because getting Leeds tickets is like the Hunger Games now, but less fun. The Arsenal fans are annoyingly hospitable.
Yeah. And Jack the Optimist, the club, all of the bastards, the PR team, Jesse, all the shitbag players, a lot of them. There you go. Some more specific grievances being levelled at other people, aren't there?
I've just noticed, actually, Gouldie, who was the one who we weren't sure if he was being sarcastic. He was, because everybody is nominated by him.
Okay.
So I think unless that I must have put them in the wrong column and that was a hero. Everyone's a hero because it doesn't matter what happens.
The board are coming in for some attention. Again, feels like one that's going to be the Day of Reckoning. That's going to be part of the Day of Reckoning that's coming in a couple of weeks. The buck stops with them, says Paul. Unimpressed, Paul, at that.
Perpetually in pain, says Angus Kinnear. Our analysis indicates that many January options requiring an eight-figure investment would not be a material improvement on the current performances of emerging players.
Lewis Bate did look good at Arsenal.
He did look good. You know. He did look good. We've left it late to introduce him. It's like a surprise. we've been holding him back all this time.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we let Lewis Bate and Joffy loose in the last few games and they're the ones who saved the season at the cost of the 23s going down. But I forget those chumps. If the first team stay up, that's great. Ah, dear me. Luke Ayling, yeah, onto him. Loads. I mean, do we even need to go through these? Everyone knows. Disgraceful tackle. Brain dead. What a pillock.
Luke Ayling, he knows what he does. By Joe. Feels just sad.
Yeah, Richard pointing out that, again, we needed calm heads, and he's the captain, and captain overboard, he describes him as, and the ship is going down. There's so much love for Ayling, isn't there, generally speaking? That it'd have been much easier if it had just been Junior Firpo who did this. Then you could have just gone, what a dick. Get him sold.
I expected it, yeah.
But Ayling, you're kind of like, oh, not you. Not you as well, Luke. Bloody hell. This season in particular, he's not had a great season. But don't do that. I mean, on the plus side, he's not had a great season. So him being out of the team isn't as bad as it would be if he was like, you know, banging form and you're thinking we're really going to miss him. Like if Rafinha was out, for example, even though he's not in form, but someone we definitely need. I feel like Ayling, playing as he has been, not a huge miss necessarily.
Marsh, giving people bad vibes. Speaking of vibes, like Rich AD said, Marsh in the media, stop giving interviews during a relegation battle like you're a Harvard lecturer and focus on winning a game of football, giving off Kanye West's hype man vibes. And it was, it's Lee and the Cheese who's suggesting there's an absolute contrast between how Marsh says we will play in his 1,000 interviews and how fucking terrible we are when it comes to the game day. That's the thing I can't reconcile at the minute, is that for all the talk, and the talk is good, there's a lot of talk and not a lot of result.
We're heading back to Warnock era a bit with the old, you'll never see a Leeds United team play like that again, and we're gonna really be changed. You won't recognise this team. We're such fighters and all this. And then you go out and watch it and you think, I'm not sure is there any plan here? And part of the aggression thing, actually, so Mike Sunshine Pantera said, it's tied between Jesse and Luke, said a broken femur and a reckless red card later. I question if we need to be more aggressive is really what we needed. Fair point.
Yeah. Marsh needs to be judged. People will say this. The people who don't agree will say Marsh needs to be judged next season when he's had a transfer window and his squad and all that. But kind of a job to do now, isn't there?
Well, yeah, he's brought in to do a job now. And if he didn't think it was possible to keep us up without a transfer window, then shouldn't have probably taken it.
Although he did say at the time, didn't he? Did he? He said, I told Victor, I don't think I should do this. Again, conversations for 2 weeks from now. Melier gets a solitary nomination, actually. That was the thing that set us onto the path, wasn't it, really?
And as Johnny B says, he says, as much as I don't like to, Melier has to be nominated. And it does feel like that. Like, he's so far in credit with us. But it was hard to watch that and defend it. Just kick the ball and don't let the Arsenal player score.
Blaming external parties then. Nketiah gets a nomination, saying he shouldn't have dunked on us like that, says Tom. TJ doesn't like
that. We made it very easy for him though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. And Martinelli is picked out by TJ. He says he doesn't like his shit-eating grin.
He has absolutely had us on toast both games this year, hasn't he, Martinelli? He's had a very fun season against us.
Ben White as well.
Yeah, for the earring alone. He's nominated.
He does look a bit like a pirate.
He's got a hell of a tan.
Yeah.
From being on the old Seven Seas.
Yeah. He's going over and drinking rum in the Caribbean, isn't he?
Out on the deck. Us three, which is...
Me, you and...
Moscow.
Yeah. Because we've got Robin.
We've followed advice. Roger says, you three sound as tired and overtrained as a third season Bielsa team. Get Colin in and play the kids.
Here he is.
And look how enthusiastic I am about this season.
We've all got years on Robin. Rob's broken as well. Gandhi?
Fair enough, yeah. Yeah, Lucy nominates him for... His quotes didn't inspire. Inspire enough there.
Yeah, Gear said the same as well. For not having an inspirational enough quote, whatever it was, didn't work, did it?
Yep. Lucy says, yeah, his quotes inspired a quick concession of the lead and needless violence. Might as well have gone with live, laugh, love for all the bastarding good it did.
Oh, we're all very nihilistic at the minute, aren't we, when this is happening?
Morley Ryan has nominated himself, which is nice of him. He made a Normanton-esque insurance bet for us to get relegated at the start of the season. However, the winnings of £120 seem paltry now in terms of happiness.
Need to go bigger on that. £120's not doing anything for you, is it?
Don't encourage gambling.
No. No, but the insurance bet, I mean, you can have a good night out on it.
Have you had an insurance bet?
Yeah, but it's not a worthwhile one. Mm. I did nearly look at it, go big on it the other week when it was 10-1. I also thought at that point, nah, I was staying up. Idiotically. That's what optimism got me. Myself out of a load of money.
Asking is Ryan what to do with the winnings potentially. Donate to charity or bang it all on another bet to get promoted. Suggestions welcome. Get yourself a £75 Leeds United membership.
Mm.
Cleanse the soul, put it back into the club. That's what I say. We can buy another junior Firpo.
There'll be some more NFTs about soon.
Yeah.
Get one of Michael Owens that you cannot lose money on.
Right.
Apparently.
Is that true?
That's what Michael Owens says.
Right.
The reason you can't lose money on it is because you can't sell it for less than you bought it for, which arguably means you just can't sell it at all at some point.
Right.
But that's how you cannot lose money, by like refusing to sell something.
That's what you do with your car, isn't it?
Yeah. So like if you've got a car, that even if it's an old broken car that you've paid money for in the first place, just refuse to sell it for less than that, and then you never have to realise a loss on it.
So negative equity, not a possible thing.
If you don't sell it, it's fine.
Scrooge doesn't like Firpo, doesn't think he can keep this escapade up much longer. Surely someone in an Amazon warehouse is wondering where their forklift driver is.
Yeah, he's a mystery of Firpo, isn't he? Because Alioski, who at this point last season we kind of wanted to replace, he was good at running up and down, and he did sometimes turn games, and he could hit and miss, but he could put a cross in sometimes. He could sometimes shoot. He could sometimes defend. I've not seen Firpo do much of anything.
I mean, the maddest thing is that these haven't even been his worst games, like quite a distance.
The maddest thing is we haven't paid for him yet.
Well, we've paid something.
We'll just knock it off the Rafa £20 million fee, shall we?
Oh, God. Yeah, he's got a release clause, hasn't he?
That's
going to be fun at the end of the season. The whole, if we go down, it's fine because we'll sell Rafinha for £80 million.
I'm trying very, not
if we go down.
I'm trying very, very hard to see the humans at Leeds United because, you know, as you get older, maybe I think you become a bit more empathetic towards other people.
Mm.
Or I don't know. Not the way politics in this country is going.
I've not seen much of that towards Jesse this morning. No. I have to say, with his Mother Teresa quotes and all that.
But even that, like, I know Firpo is probably trying his best. I know Jesse's trying his best. I know Radrazzani's probably trying his best. And it annoys me that I'm annoyed. I don't want to be annoyed here. I want everyone to be fine and happy and doing well, like it was 2 years ago. Bollocks, isn't it?
Thing is, that ultimately, if someone's not very good, then you've kind of got to get rid of them. Whether
paying
you're playing left back for Leeds United or. You know, you're out in Tesco doing the trolleys, but you keep smashing them into cars. Yeah. Eventually, someone's going to go, you're a nice guy, but you really just need to take them from one place to the other without hitting stuff.
Yeah.
It's a minimum requirement. So.
Yeah, so I think, like, if your hairdresser just completely chopped, like, half your...
You what?
Rob, if your hairdresser is chopping away and took, like, you went, oh, yeah, leave my fringe, but then they hacked all your fringe off, you need to get rid of him. Oh, yeah. Or her. And, fair point. I just want everything to be nice.
In Firpo's defence, he's never had a run, has he, this season? He's constantly being injured and in and out and
getting suspended.
Yeah. He didn't get booked.
Hmm?
That was good.
Yeah.
Surprising.
Well done.
Although like I was saying just ahead of us speaking to Tony DiRigo, I get the feeling refs have kind of gone, he's more trouble to you on the pitch. I'll leave him on.
Just the edges leaving me.
I could send him off, but what would the point be, really? You just put someone else there.
Yeah, it's no worse with him there, is it?
Exactly. Just leave him on.
It's Luke Ayling, isn't it? Reluctantly.
I think so.
This week.
We should say it's only a few weeks since we were asking what more could Luke Ayling have done for Leeds after he scored that winner against Wolves and we were remembering all these great moments, but don't do that at the same time.
Mm.
Consider this a formal reprimand.
Mm. Okay. Come back next season. Better. What,
for the championship?
Maybe.
The Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Award now. Who's our hero?
Players. Fairly short in supply nomination wise, but Bate gets a lot for running about lots. Some, I guess, TJ dominates him for Bate, I guess. He showed some glimpses of his range of passing, being the only one to play well, slightly less shite, Joe says. That's high praise. no one exactly. Oh, actually, there's some Marky Mark says he reminded him of McPhail. So that's good.
Yeah. That's a good point. Now, yeah, that sort of short, low centre of gravity kind of wand of a left foot vibe. Yeah,
yeah, that sort of a thing.
Nowhere Man points out that he's only got 20 more minutes for us this season than Helder Costa.
Has Helder Costa played for us this season?
He played in the League Cup against Crewe, didn't he?
Was he still here? My God, yeah. I've no memory of it. It feels like he...
They'll do a side around him next year, Michael.
Yeah, he's coming back, isn't he? Him and Kiko next year.
Still time to extend the box contract.
Speaking of which, alcohol. Sam's saying alcohol. I think that probably reflects your experience in corporate at Arsenal.
That's my hero of the weekend, definitely, yeah.
Families. Rowan's very grateful for a family for putting up with him for the next few weeks, which he's sure will be unbearable for them. Stuart Dallas getting hero nominations still.
Well, he wasn't any part of that game, was he? So that was good.
Although Ryan is saying RIP, gone before his time, etc.
John P. saying as well, not many players could command the respect to make Rads fork out for 3,000 t-shirts when we wanted the club to spend money on a midfielder. I didn't have this in mind.
And to be fair, it wasn't 3,000, it was 2,500, because the back lot of seats, they didn't have enough, did they?
Oh, okie doke.
Presumably, because we were trying to get the, you know, the F off Bob t-shirts that, in fact, Rob's wearing yours today, aren't you? It turns out white t-shirts like Rocking Horse shit at the minute. So we ended up having like a few little minor production delays. So these fuckers have nicked them all.
I've not checked eBay yet. Are they on there? I wanted to know what they were going for.
Oh, that's a good point. I'll look that up.
Yeah, have a look at that. Who's manning the Arsenal end? Let's have a look. He says, MJ says, I have to nominate the man sat in front of me at the Emirates. I was sat behind enemy lines, as were many Leeds fans. When Llorente smashed in that corner, he got up on his seat and started cheering and celebrating the goal. Many Arsenal fans started pushing him, to which he started shoving back and brawling with everyone around him. Then I noticed his wife next to him, who had started giving the middle finger to everyone around. A few moments later, they just walked out, proud to be Leeds.
There is one Stuart Dallas shirt on eBay. Still 6 days, 7 hours left on it. £53.
Jesus Christ.
So if you've got one, get it on. Get it on there.
Or if you've got 10, like some people got, who went in there early and just started scooping them up. Bastards. Llorente got some nominations, by the way. Goal line clearance and a poacher's goal.
I don't remember the clearance.
I forgot about the clearance. That was right under the crossbar, wasn't it? I think he hit the bar and it went out. I can't quite remember.
Again, talking about the nihilistic side of things, ex-Leeds fan Ben, great name, says the climate disaster that's coming. Save us from putting up with this shite.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying, back to Llorente, we have been saying we look more dangerous from corners under Marsh. That is one definite positive. Good to get a goal. Good confidence boost for him.
Wisconsin Todd, proud of Dan James for being a carrier pigeon now. Passing the notes during the game. Yeah. Which we figured worked his bollocks off, said Carlo. Playing right wing back as well. Robbie, he had a turn at that, says Rob. He started out at Hull/Swansea as a wing back. Never knew that.
No, there you go.
Is that true?
On the note, actually, Adsham does nominate Jesse for this. I think he's misremembering the exact way this worked, because he's nominated for Marsh shoving a note down that little scumbastard's pants like a disgraced PE teacher. He put it in his hand, and then James,
there was no
put it down.
Hand to trouser interface was the between Marsh and
James. it was very much in his hand.
And the watching audience of millions would probably verify that.
Unless he whispered it to him, put it down your pants.
Go on.
Then hand it back to me.
Oh, Michael. Oh dear. Michael, your pessimism is being nominated for hero ship from Lee and the Cheese.
Okay, good. I think I deserve that.
A model for life and all that. Who else we got?
I mean, Aileen does get a hero nomination from Jelly. Fair play for finding a way out of dealing with these last three fixtures. Wish I could do that.
You can't quit now. No, you've got to see it through.
Likewise, Firpo gets a nomination from Ilkley Arsil. Junior Firpo, always a good laugh.
Firpo's Tash actually nominates a boy in Fife. Says, the little lad I met in Fife who had a Melier top on. I thought of our joy as we discussed our love of Leeds and of Spider Boy as I watched Melier go full fucking tonto and cost us the first goal. Still love you, Melier, but for fuck's sake.
Some fair nominations as well for a combination of Villa, Buendia, Burnley losing, because that was basically the highlight of the weekend, wasn't it?
And will probably be the highlight of next week, midweek, when they go to Villa Park, Burnley. So Villa, great bunch of lads.
Always had a lot of time for them.
Yeah. So despite all that stuff we said before and the recent fallouts, I mean, who do you want in the Premier League, Villa? Do you want us having these fun games and these pretend rivalries on Twitter? Burnley.
It's true, though. I'd want Villa to stay up over Burnley just because it's a decent away day and a stadium and a fan base worthy of a Premier League. So great bunch of lads.
Yeah. Villa, we're right behind you.
There's room for only one claret and blue in the Premier League, isn't there?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, when Villa went there, their away kit, which was the white and the claret was too close to the home kit. So there needs to be somebody goes out of the Premier League as a result of this. With Villa where they are, they're safe. Only leaving Burnley, isn't it? Because we can go to Villa and we can wear white.
Mm.
That's all I've got. Right. Let's wrap up the last few hero nominations. Some of the outliers, the stragglers.
Keith Lard nominates Carlos Colbrand for sacrificing 2 years of his life at Huddersfield to get some experience for when he takes us over in that league next season.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. Like, you really wouldn't rule that out if he, yeah. if they don't go up. Presumably, if he goes up, he would want a shot at the Premier League.
And Roger suggesting that Jesse's a hero for bringing closer his dream of a return for Simon Grayson, this time with a proper budget. I've got a feeling that ship might have sailed.
I think so, but I mean, you never know how it gets us out. It could get us out of League One.
Well, that's everyone. Pick a hero of the week.
Bate, Villa.
I mean, yeah, we give it to the fans every week at the minute, don't we? It feels like.
Yeah, fans were great as well. We should say, like, singing along despite everything else. Fans got it last week. Is that right?
Do we give it for Bate for 45 minutes of football?
I want to give it to Villa.
I mean, for all Bate didn't help us, did it really?
No. Whereas Villa did.
Whereas Villa definitely did help us.
They might take the boost of this into next week. Mm. Spurs as well. Let's not forget how much we like Spurs.
If they can beat Villa again, I might start forgiving them for 1996.
Even if Villa can beat them again. Because we don't want...
Is that not what I said?
No, we don't.
Okay, yeah. You know what I meant.
That implied that Burnley would win.
Right.
No.
Yeah, Villa need to win.
We need Villa to win. Yeah.
Ideally.
So yeah, come on Villa. Up the Villa. Jack Grealish. Oh, good night. God, it felt awful doing that. And there you go. That wraps up the weekly show. Two more to go then during the season. Next week, we're going to be after Brighton, but before the Burnley midweek game, aren't we?
Mm. So we won't quite know how bad things are.
Oh, that's exciting though, isn't it?
And we'll have another Jess conference.
Yep.
Which will be good.
Yeah, everyone's really digging those at the minute.
Yeah, it went down really well. From what I saw this morning on Twitter, everyone was loving it.
Michael, let's finish this show with a quote, please, from Gandhi.
Come on then.
Go on.
Oh, you want me to do
I
one?
I want you to do one.
Let me get my list out.
Which you always keep. I mean, there's a separate set of notes you keep for your Gandhi quotes.
Mm. Pass it fucking wide.
Yeah.
That's what I used to say.
Mm.
Get out of India and keep the ball wide. That was one of his lesser known ones.
Yeah.
He was covering a few things at once.
Yeah.
But that was the gist of what he wanted to get across. Excellent. Pass it to each other, for fuck's sake.
Okay. We'll give that a whirl. See how we get on. Thank you for watching and listening. Back next week with more fun and games. We'll see you then.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.